The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. So today is the day that we observe God as one God in three persons. I recently had an adult confirmation class here, and my whole class was based on the existence of God and what that means for us as far as our own lives and how that applies. How do you think about God in your life? I say this a lot, but sometimes I'll run into people that say they don't practice their faith anymore. And they say, "Well, I just don't believe in God." And so I say, "Well, explain to me that God that you don't believe in." And then they start to talk about this God that isn't God. And I say to them, "I wouldn't believe in that God either." But we don't really know what to think about God, do we? Is he supposed to be like a friend or a service provider or somebody that we might do deals with when we pray? "I'll do this, God, if you do this for me." So when we start to talk about the Blessed Trinity, it is a mystery. And we can only sort of get a glimpse of what we know and what we can figure out. I know it sometimes seems like Christians, we like to think that we have all the answers exactly right. And I think that we do our best. But in my adult confirmation class, this one young lady in the class, she said, "What I would like to do is to learn what to say to my Muslim friends who say God is one and not three." Interesting. Because we say God is one as well. God is one God, not three gods. But within that God, there is a community of persons. So that's what I want to talk about today. There are a couple of fundamental concepts I want to start with. The first one is the idea of what is a person. So you could say a person is a rational being. I think it has to be a rational being because you have to be able to process data, what you know about yourself, what you know about other people. So personality actually follows relationship. God doesn't make us just human beings. He makes us persons in order to live in relationship with him and with others. So those relationships really do define who we are. You could be a man, but you can't be a father if you don't have a child. So the person of being a father is the relationship that that father has with the child, with a son or a daughter. Like, you can't be a grandmother if you don't have grandchildren, right? So we define ourselves according to the relationships in which we are. We tend to think of persons, though, as human beings because we are human beings. But there are other persons than human beings that are capable of relationship. Number one, God, who's a divine being, who seeks to have a relationship with you. Then, of course, what about angels, angelic beings? We have guardian angels. So we're in relationship with something that's not human, a person. I want to open your minds to what this concept of person is. It's not like the little old man with white hair, who's the Father, and then Jesus of Nazareth, who's the Son, and then the dove, who's the Holy Spirit. Most of us live on such a simple level with God, and that works when you're a kid, but it doesn't serve very well when you become an adult. What about even saints or souls in purgatory, right? They are people, human persons, but in a different state now of life. So that's the first concept, person. The second concept I want to talk about is time. Time only came into existence with creation. Before creation, there was not time. There's only that eternal moment of God. And for some reason, I guess, because we're able to process God's creation in a way that is sequential, like something comes before and something comes after. Maybe if we had the whole thing at the same time, it would just blow our minds. But we process reality according to, you might say days or minutes or hours. We have a system to try to figure that out. But in God, there is no before and there is no after. God is. God does, you might say God did something in the past, but there's no past with God. And God cannot change. So he can't be doing one thing this moment and another in the next. He simply is doing. Because there is no next moment in God. There is no other moment than now with God. So when we say he created the world and he spoke the word and he sent his only begotten son, we have to rethink those words. We have to change those verb tenses. I think it's called the gerund, is the verb tense we're looking for. God is creating, God is speaking, God is sending. Always. Because that moment of now in God is eternal, and that eternal moment is something that permeates all of our experience of before and after. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. So St. John got it wrong. Sorry, St. John. God is so loving the world that he is sending his only begotten son. It happened in time at one point, but it happens in that eternal moment all the time. God is creating. God is not limited by our ability to see only things as they unfold in time. Time is the measure of creation. God is beyond creation. There was a show on Maryland Public Television a couple weeks ago about Teilhard de Chardin. He was a priest, a Jesuit priest in France, like between 1885 and 1955, and he was quite controversial because he had these ideas. He was a scientist, first of all, and he had these ideas about how he wanted to make science and creation work together. And so he came up with this idea that God is constantly creating. This is kind of borne out by the fact that we've discovered that new universes are constantly being brought into existence. We can't explain how, but that process of creation continues. We discover new species. Some species stop existing. There's this constant movement, this dynamic reality that is God in his creation. So therefore, the third point I want to make comes right out of the gospel today. Jesus is the one who uses the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So those are the words we use, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's probably the best way that we can understand the truth of the Trinity in our human terms. But we have to think, first of all, of the relationship of persons. Not as human persons, like fathers and sons, because fathers and sons in human experience, fathers come before sons, right? It would be silly to say that the son begets the father. So we have to have that kind of concept in our mind, but I want you not to focus on the individual being itself, but the relationship that is there. Fathers obviously beget sons, but free yourself from defining God according to human experience. Without a before and after, then in God it must be an action that is always happening. The Father is begetting, the Son is being begotten in that now moment of eternity, a living, dynamic reality. The Trinity never changes. It doesn't just happen once and for all. It happens all now. Pure relationship. So if we say God is love, then love requires a relationship. God just can't exist by himself and love me, love himself, right? That wouldn't be what God does, because God's love has the expression of outward love. He wants to share who he is with whoever's out there, right? So he speaks this word of self-revelation. It's a perfect word. He speaks clearly and perfectly. Think about a sculptor. You're a sculptor and you want to make an image of yourself. You want to make it as perfect as you can. It's possible that you could come up with a likeness that people would look at your sculpture and they would say, I can't tell the difference between you and that sculpture, until you open your mouth and the sculpture can't, right? Sculptures can't think, they can't understand, they can't form relationships. They're as much as we can do. It's far less than what God, the perfect sculptor, can do. So when God speaks his word, his creative word, to reveal himself, he speaks everything of himself. And there it is, being begotten. So that perfect word is begetting the person who is being begotten. It's everywhere in the scriptures. If you look all through the gospels, Jesus says, everything that the Father has, he has given to me. To see me is to see the Father. The Father and I are one. So we have this relationship that is God. There it is again. We might be able to think of a relationship between a husband and a wife, but take away the human beingness of that. It is relationship, pure relationship, that is God. This constant loving, this constant unity. Begetting out of love, no past or future time, constant, unchanging, loving speaking of this life-giving word being begotten out of love. God probably makes creation follow reality bit by bit over time, like I said before, because to see it all at once probably would be too much for us. We would not know what to do with it until we're ready. But that act of begetting and being begotten, which we see in the persons of the Father and Son, generates a new reality, which is the love that the persons share that would not have been there before if there had been a before, but there isn't. So the Holy Spirit is the always new love that binds the Father and Son in perfect union and personality. This is an image of God far from the old white-haired man and Jesus and a dove. Because art can only say so much. God is not an equal. He's not a negotiator. He's totally other. We don't even know. We can't even really say what God is. We don't know. The one thing we do know is that he loves, and he is love. And so this is where creation comes in. The Trinity is not a closed, exclusive relationship. We know those are unhealthy, right? We tell brides and grooms when they're preparing for marriage, don't have an exclusive relationship that shuts out the whole rest of the world. You've got to continue to make friends and to grow and to understand more. You learn things from new people, right? So you don't want to just close the doors and have this kind of unhealthy, exclusive relationship. And so God isn't that way either. He constantly seeks to share. And that sharing is what we call creation. God is eternal, dynamic life, love, union, eternally compatible with his creation, divine and human. Bishop Barron teaches on one of his classes we do for our adult confirmation preparation. He teaches how this Trinity then takes its expression in the incarnation. God the Father sends his Son on this trajectory from the glory of heaven. The Son willingly obeys the Father out of love, because there is this love between the two of them. The Father wishes to share himself with his creation, to redeem his creation who has fallen into sin. So the Son is sent forth from the Father, and he empties himself of his glory. He enters into time and creation. He becomes one of us. He enters into our poverty, into our deepest suffering in the cross, into our death. He even goes so far as to empty himself of the relationship that he is with the Father. Think about that. This is the greatest sacrifice of Jesus. My God, why have you abandoned me? He wasn't just quoting a psalm. The psalm was actually foretelling what was going to happen to him. My God, why have you abandoned me? The relationship that he is, he was even unable to recognize and know at that moment. He goes to the depths, to the lowest, most desperate suffering of our human condition. And it's the relationship between the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and Jesus that brings him back from the dead. It was the bond of love between the Father and the Son. And with him, because he initiated the sacraments and called us to live in imitation of him, he brings us with him as well. As he goes back that trajectory, back to the Father, he gathers up all those who are willing to be members of his body, officially or unofficially, gathers up all those people and brings them back into the Father so that we can live the life of the Blessed Trinity. So today's a feast day we celebrate with great solemnity. It's a very important, maybe one of the most important feast days of the church, because what we are here to do today is to celebrate the fact that our identity is in the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are the Son, and our humanity sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and we are now continually a part of that life as Jesus. And like I said, Jesus, you know, he was a divine person too, a divine being. He had a divine nature. He doesn't just call us and bring us home once. He calls us and brings us home always in that moment of eternity, which is God's life.